Hello all and welcome to the Answer is Elephant podcast. I am your host, Carla Turner. On this podcast, I will be interviewing people who have been inspiring me in my wellness journey, and in hopes that through their words and stories, you may also be inspired to create positive changes in your day-to-day life, changes that will affect your personal life, the people around you, and our communities. Each episode will have its own topic depending on who I am interviewing that day. Let's start connecting and growing our wellness tribe.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you again for joining. Today, I am here with Terry Ruth. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. And I am Carla, and Carla with a K. I do have to introduce myself like that.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
I always remember that.
No kidding. For the audience out there, Carla and I first met in the grand arena of karaoke.
Yeah.
And people always bring me slips to request what song that they would have me as a karaoke host do. And there are more than one Carlas, none as unique as you. But I always used to put Carla with a K so that I knew who she was, and when I was just calling out the next singer.
Yes.
You were identified appropriately.
Yes.
Congratulations on the podcast concept. I think it's a really good idea.
Well, thank you so much.
Once again, thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, karaoke. Do you still host it? Yeah,
you do. It has been such a shock to me, to be honest with you. As a career musician.
Yeah.
And traveled, working out of Vancouver and out of Toronto as a bass player. And played with some recording acts, really good acts and stuff, through a series of fortunate events.
Yes.
I ended up getting the opportunity to temporarily host karaoke. And, you know, I invested in the library. You have to have the library of the backing tracks and the books and stuff. Put a few $100 into it. And honestly, Carla, I thought if I was lucky, I'd get a year or two while I was kind of supplementing income while changing jobs.
Okay.
And much to my astonishment, it's been a decade. Much to my astonishment. Now, in some cases right now, all of the entertainment endeavors are going through some transitory issues and difficulties thanks to the restrictions that were placed under from the current medical issues. You know, I'm optimistic. My blood type is B positive, and it seems to have infiltrated my entire core. But yeah, so I'm hoping that we can maintain with some modifications karaoke.
Yeah.
I do currently just two nights every week on a regular basis.
Okay.
I'm here. We're in High River. And I'm very fortunate to have been at Sally's in High River every Friday for 8 years now. And then I do a little commute, and every Saturday I do a karaoke show, exact same thing, in Drumheller.
Yeah.
But the place in Drumheller, having undergone a recent change of ownership and some other unimportant consequences, has really flagged the patronage. Mostly due to the pandemic issues, has just gone chunk downhill. So there, I've brought in some other features to sort of make it a little more interesting. A cash trivia contest, for one thing, and name that tune and stuff. I don't really have the necessity to do it in the High River venue, but it's been a lot of fun to expand the scope. So when I started here by saying, much to my astonishment, it's been 10 years, I'm saying 10 years as an unchanged attraction.
Right.
But the you know, all of us in this world need to think on our feet, be nimble. The only constant in life is change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got some ideas for changing things up a little bit.
Nice.
Did you ever come to one of the game show nights that we did? This goes back a few years.
Yeah, like it's been a long time since I was regularly there.
Yeah, well, this didn't happen at Sally's. The place I was doing in Longview, the place I was doing in Okotoks, the place I was doing in Black Diamond, all of those places, myself and a partner created a game show.
Mm.
We came up with 30 different game shows, mostly invented. Shows.
Wow.
It was fun to be creative. We had games like The Mighty Fisherman, Pull Your Face Off, Blind Date with Hitler, Poke and Penny, the Nut Slapper, and the Ass Buster. Now the Ass Buster is just balloons, people. Just balloons on chairs. But anyway, so it was a lot of fun doing that. And so those are kind of in the back pocket for myself. If things, if it looks like it's necessary to enhance the scope of the attractions.
Right.
We're just discussing a New Year's Eve, as a matter of fact, at Sally's, where I'll bring in an assistant.
Right.
Which allows me to do the Name That Tune.
Yeah.
And already, I guess I didn't quite complete, already at the place in Drumheller, in order to bring a few more people in, I do a cash trivia.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll do cash trivia for 15 minutes, and then karaoke for 15 minutes, and then cash trivia, bouncing back and forth, and they get toonies.
Right. You know what? I love that too, because karaoke, as much as I always loved it, sometimes it's like, okay, can we quiet it down just for a couple minutes, you know? And because it's song after song of...
I thought I would have a much more difficult time as a career musician. I thought I'd have a much more difficult time listening to the offerings of my my beloved singers. Just quickly, I'll divert here. If you remember the bell curve in school, okay, remember the bell curve? A teacher will grade on the bell curve.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Imagine all the kids in school. If you plotted their test results on horizontal, highest on the right, lowest on the left,
right,
you would find there's kind of a lump in the middle. More people are getting C minuses, Cs, and C pluses than people getting A pluses and people getting failures. Well, just about every human ability can be plotted. If you have a population of people, it can be plotted on a curve like that.
Yeah.
So you've got 10% of the people are geniuses at fixing cars. 10% of the people couldn't even find where the steering wheel is.
Yeah.
You know? And amazingly, karaoke is like that. Because you have some people, I mean, we have many people that actually have their own CDs out.
Yes.
Right? And then the majority of people are somewhere in that kind of lump in the middle.
Yeah.
And then there's the left-hand side of the graph. And I like to tell my friends that it's interesting for me because I find both ends of the bell curve equally entertaining.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think that karaoke is a way for everyone to express themselves in a musical way, which is such a beautiful gift. And anyone who does, I mean, I don't care if you can't, if you don't think you can sing, I mean, sing for yourself while you're doing the laundry or something, you know, and it is a really, 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 really good thing for our bodies to do. Even it's just healthy to have that air movement, right? Breathe in a different manner.
Right, so, off the hop, that's true.
Yeah.
And nowadays there's no more smoking in bars.
Yeah.
The first 15 years that I was playing or so, smoking was allowed in the bars.
Yeah.
And the light guys loved it because the beams from the spotlights,
Fox,
you can see these cool beams coming through the smoke. And I got contact lenses and I went into the, after a year or so I went back and the ophthalmologist knew that I was a professional musician. And she says, you know, everybody else, they get on stage, gets contacts. They come back and they're brown from the nicotine that just gets absorbed into these soft lenses. And she says, yours aren't at all. And why is that? And I thought about it. I thought, you know, I've got a giant bass amplifier behind me with two fans mounted on it, hitting me right in the back so that I stay comfortable. And I think those were bringing air from behind the stage, shooting at the back of my head, and creating a zone where there was very little nicotine. So,
nice.
I
never would have thought of that.
I wouldn't have thought of it either.
Yeah.
We speak about wellness, mm-hmm. and I'll just divert for a second here about the career, the rock band career. So a couple of bands, arena size, we played the Pacific Coliseum once and stuff, but most of the bands were ones back in the day where you did six-nighters.
Right.
And the band would arrive in a town on a Sunday night, driven from the place before, set up the equipment on Monday during the day, and then play six nights.
Mm-hmm.
And some band guys just spend their days in the bar all day long.
Right.
You know, I don't think I did that even once. I wouldn't want to take the band bus out or the band truck. So, and they're usually, these are generally smaller sized towns, and I would spend all day walking, just walk around. It's before the days of the internet, as I give my age away here. so I would just find where the local public library is and just delve into a topic. For a few months, I studied electronics. A few months, I studied French. A few months, I got to a very high level of portrait drawing portraits. Made a living at that, actually, for a few years. My Einstein drawing is reproduced in the Einstein Museum in Austria.
What?
I haven't drawn anything for about 10 years. The point I'm making is that you can be very healthy with that, because you only have to work 4 hours a night.
Yeah, that's a wonderful use of your time in between. Yeah.
I moved around a lot on stage, so I danced. Yeah. And I think that, you know, my more recent health challenges were well equipped, or I had a good arsenal by doing this aerobic, basically.
Yeah.
4 hours a night, 6 nights a week, you know, for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when we get around to the health and wellness thing of it,
yeah.
I'm grateful to the music career for showing me to be able to do karaoke. And also, I think that there were long-standing health benefits, which is probably counterintuitive to what anybody would think of as being a band guy for 25 years.
Well, I mean, the atmosphere of the bars and where people play often and things like that can certainly absorb people. Right. And
you said,
a lot of times people sit in the bars during the day, and it's easy just to stay.
I've seen many musicians, flail and go down. And, so many people, when we talk about alcohol, so many musicians had to have 2 beer, 3 beer just to start to get into the groove.
Right.
And luckily for myself, I only drank when it was free. And, don't smoke, don't do drugs and stuff. And so it was actually a very healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And in terms of your mental thing too, as it's probably pretty obvious to everybody, I'm gregarious. And I don't have a lot of trouble walking up to strangers and making friends. And so after a few years where you have a circuit of every 7 or 8 weeks you return to the same town,
right.
I had a little black book. No folks, there weren't cell phones. And I would just phone my friends.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, you're back in town, Tara. We're all going out to the lake on Tuesday afternoon. Come out with us.
Yeah.
And so you could live a month's worth of experiences in a week. And then go to the next town and the same thing. And meanwhile, you're exercising and breathing right.
Yeah.
You know, you got the heart rate going and the breath stuff. And then the additional mental aspect of doing what you just love to do. You, as a living, you don't actually work. You've heard that a million times. I'm not the first guy to think of that. But I just sort of wanted to include that as a preface to health and wellness topics that we'll probably get.
Well, it's nice that you still have a sense of community, as you know, found your people, because that's something else that you hear from people on the road, or whether they, you know, musician wise or working on rigs or whatnot, is just that people get so lonely.
Yeah.
And so then a lot of bad habits start to kick in when we get lonely. That's something that's just human nature.
You know,
so the fact that you found your tribe and your community and your people in every town, and then just. Yeah, rather than putting on Facebook, hey, I'm in town for the week, you called them up and said, I'm in town for the week, but it's the same thing.
Rotary telephone.
Yeah.
hard to believe those existed. And also, you know, you could stress the fact that there is contrast in that lifestyle and in my current lifestyle, where, yes, there's a public face and a public image, but you know something? In the breaks when the band's playing, I just go up to the hotel room and read an electronics book or read a French book or something to get that contrast. And that maintains to this day, all through the whole karaoke thing, is that you can... I spend most of my time very privately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a girlfriend in my life now that we spend a fair amount of time together.
Yeah.
But have the luxury. The theme of this whole interview is going to be luck. How lucky I've been. I don't know if it's deserved, but there's a lot of luck in my life. And one of those lucky things is to be able to have a job where all the social interaction I need is there.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for the fan base and my friends within the karaoke thing. But I also have the balance and the contrast of spending days completely just enjoying reading and just enjoying and little projects around the house.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know, for people that are listening, is there any possibility of enhancing the contrast between social interaction and social solitude? Or I think they're pretty healthy to have both of those things.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I love that you say luck. And now, as much as I'm sure we'll talk about music more, let's go into your health a little bit.
Yeah, I was very lucky to have a prostate exam. Anybody out there who's over, I don't know what they say now, 45 or something like that, it's not a difficult thing.
Yeah.
To have these, if you care to have sedation, they're more than happy to provide. You don't go to sleep, but you're not terribly concerned about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first instance of this theme of luck that happened to me was the fact that after two routine colostomy exams, where nothing was found. I was here in High River for a third one and was lucky to be examined by Dr. Ball. And Dr. Ball, his thoroughness absolutely saved my life, because he found that there was a fairly large cancerous tumor down low. And by down low, I'm sure you can imagine what I'm talking about. But he said he had to almost turn the scope completely around to find it, and all the other guys missed it. And if I had just stayed in Drumheller, they would have continued to miss it.
Yeah.
And so first stroke of luck was him. And second stroke of luck, this all happened time frame about six years ago,
yeah.
I think. I haven't really kept track of it. Synopsis of it is I did have two different types of cancer and five operations. But going back to the theme of luck is that the surgeon who I was referred to in Calgary, Dr. McLean, referred by Dr. Ball, turned out to be one of the best in the entire province, maybe even the country. Very thorough. And he was a mentor. And this is another interesting issue, is that I'm not even sure that he himself had hands on with the surgery. He always had these four people hovering about him, kind of like a, I don't know, an owl with a flock of crows around it or something. And I think I was a teaching example. And that's probably one of the best positions, luckily, one of the best positions to be in, is you have a sage, wise, very experienced senior physician, mm-hmm. in this case a surgeon, and his apprentices. As I recall, there's one lady and three gentlemen, all young, fresh out of medical school. So you have this combination, a synthesis of the experience and wisdom and skill of the veteran,
yeah.
combined with the fresh out of medical school,
yeah.
knowledge, cutting edge knowledge, and all the stuff they've just acquired, mm-hmm. modern, and that combination. And so that was lucky stroke number two. I'm not going to spend too much time wallowing in the medical stuff, but I think it's important for the listeners to know that along with the regular colonoscopy, I was receiving prostate PSA tests. Girls don't have that. Boys, it's a prostate specific antigen test, just a blood test. And it started raising red flags decades ago. And we just kept an eye on it, and then it started getting larger, and the physical examinations revealed that the prostate was starting to get larger. And so I had biopsies, nothing to be terribly scared of with that. And they found that what was a slow-moving, long-term prostate cancer had turned into a more aggressive nature. So sent another lucky thing, sent to another completely different department in the hospital. And a young surgeon, Dr. Bindi, happened to be his name, young guy, like much younger than me. And I went in, a very soft-spoken fellow, and I'll tell you, Carlos, you could probably edit that out. Carla, I'll tell you, I'll tell you, Carla, he had the most beautiful hands I've ever seen on a human being. Like musician hands, but even way, way better. And I just looking at those hands and going, that is, you have absolutely beautiful hands. But went through a whole series of operations. I don't really need to go through blow by blow, but there were some things in the course of recovering from these different five operations that, since you posed proposed to me coming in and doing a little a talk about wellness and dealing with my health challenges, I could kind of synthesize down into several things. Mm-hmm. First and foremost is luck. Second and foremost was, I had an attitude of, I'm just going to do what the doctors tell me to do. So okay. Surrender, right? To, no, and this is where luck comes in too. A lot of people will surrender to the diagnoses and treatments of the medical profession and unluckily receive bad advice or unluckily have poor outcomes or whatever. I just said, I'm going to do what the doctors tell me to. And of course, there's apprehension and fear of, you know, the needles and the pokes and the pains and stuff like that. But I said, Terry, I'm not going to even start to let that be a factor of, will I do it or won't I do it? Okay. This is like, I got to be there on Tuesday. I don't get to eat the day before. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And this is another aspect of all of these treatments and surgeries was being the entertainer. I always got the staff and the physicians to laugh. I always made them laugh. Yes. And laughed along with them naturally. And just time and time again, you know, I would have people come in after my recoveries and go, you know, the attitude that you have, the just your attitude made a huge difference in your recovery. Bear that in mind, but I don't know how any listener can possibly influence luck. But it was luck plus the willingness to do what I was told to do. And I think having a really good basis in years and years of light exercise, those are probably things that really added up to help.
Yeah. Yeah, those light exercises can make a world of difference when time comes. Or
elevating your breathing,
yeah,
I think makes a big deal.
And just, you know, we see people as they get older and they stop moving and then they all of a sudden don't move. You know, that's what we've heard from seniors with movement disabilities for a long time, is once they slowed down, mm-hmm. that's when they, you know, got more issues. So if you just consistently keep going, even if it's just that little bit, you know, going for a walk all the time and things like that, then that can make such a world of difference.
Are you familiar with the Clint Eastwood quote? Quote, never let the old man in.
Ah.
So that's another thing I think, I'm not going to disclose my actual age in years, but it's in horse years, it's 237 years in horse years. But, you know, never think as an old person, I think, mm-hmm. is, I can't say I'm always able to avoid that, but generally, mm-hmm. you know, your spirit is an ethereal soul that really needs to be kept ageless. Yeah. You know, you're exactly the same person inside of you if you ignore experiences that have happened to you as you were when you were 12. Same person, right? But yeah. Try not to let the old man in.
Yeah, I like that.
A couple other things that, you know, along this journey towards health, people can be very overwhelmed and reluctant when they hear about some of the things that you need to do when you're working with an illness like this. For instance, in order to remove the rectal cancer, I had to wear an ostomy bag for 8 months. And a lot of people, when they hear that name and you go, oh my gosh, you have to wear a bag, they think everybody's gonna know. It's just like, and you're stuck with it for the rest of your life and stuff. And I'd like to dispel that myth right off the hop. A bit on things you have to change, modify your life. Yeah. You know, the only constant in life is change itself. But that was removed in operation number 4 years ago. And no lingering consequences. In a similar fashion from the prostate adventure, I had to wear a urine bag. And there was a brief interview. There was, a 2-month overlap where I had to wear both.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was still driving around, you know, like I could drive my car, walk around and stuff. So these things seem like they're, when I heard I was going to have to wear these appliances, It was terrifying and horrifying. And I just want to come to your listeners at the other side of this experience saying, you know, in most cases, many cases, they are not permanent. Very, very few permanent consequences to me from this 5 operations.
Wow.
Lucky. Still can't do sit-ups worth a damn, but just...
As humans get this news of you're already dealing with so much mentally, and oh, by the way, you're going to have a bag strapped to you for a good time period, then that's all that we think about, right? It's so hard to comprehend how our bodies and trying to know how our bodies are going to change through a process like that, which of course we can't know how our bodies are going to change through, you know, we're all different. So, I know how I would feel if a bag was attached to me for 8 months. I'm going to get mad about that one thing. If I strap a fanny pack to me, I've felt that, or if I carried a heavy wallet or something, like, okay, I can kind of wrap my head around this one topic of this, or this one, you know, area, so I'm going to get mad about that.
That's a good strategy.
And get stressed about that.
So is that what you're saying? You divert your energies and some of your anxiety and concern to that, I'll just be mad about that one thing?
Yeah, that one thing. That's, I think we do that a lot. I can't understand all of cancer or what my body is doing, so this one thing, I'm going to get mad about this one little thing.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, I didn't adopt that strategy personally, but you know, it really turned out to be not nearly as bad as
what. And then, a lot of times it does, right?
And,
yeah.
And yes, there are some of these modifications end up being permanent. And, you know, once again, you rise above that. The repetition of routine does an awful lot to dissuade people from concerns about stuff like that.
Yeah.
A little side note I'd put to that last topic is that concern about having to wear an appliance or something like that is just another one of those things that can take your healing energy down a couple of notches. So I would just like to transmit to people, it's not as bad as you think. Technology is to an amazing degree where they've got the hardware and the adhesives and all of the little procedures and things down so much better than it must have been for those poor people that pioneered it 50 years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so, try not to let concern over a modification of your body take your health energy quotient down too many notches.
Yeah, let your body use the energy for the healing rather than worrying about the little things.
These things, in most many cases, are removable. You just go through the process and come out the other side unscathed.
If you are looking for a gift, fashions for the family, home decor, or some amazing handcrafted jewelry, Walker's General Store has you covered. Ask for Tammy and Susan, who both offer microcurrent protocols, and Tammy also does Rainer massage. You can check out their store online at walkersgeneralstore.ca. Again, walkersgeneralstore.ca. Shopping from the comfort of your own home while still supporting local. Use the code WALKERSELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next regular priced items. Praises to Walker's General Store for being a warm light in the High River community. So if you have been following me for any length of time, you probably know my love for fresh juices and smoothies. Refresh Food and Drink is the hot spot in High River. They use organic ingredients for their beverages, and they also carry healthy lunch items, bone broths, kombucha on tap, elixir blends, healthy snacks, reverse osmosis water, and so much more. They either make these items in-house or source them out from other awesome local people. One of my favorite things that they offer are juice cleanses. This is an amazing way to detox your system while also giving your body all of the nutrition that we need for optimal thriving. use the code ELEPHANT10 to receive 10% off of your next juice cleanse. Thank you again so much to Refresh Food and Drink for keeping our community healthy and happy.
So, do you remember the moment of, okay, yeah, you got cancer.
Let me think back. Yeah, actually, I do. And, of course, you get that icy cold grip around your heart.
Yeah.
You know, but the first time I heard that was in the exam room with that surgeon that I was talking. The colonoscopy revealed a tumor. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of different types.
Yeah.
And so that disclosure was in the basement exam rooms with the surgeon I talked about and his four assistants mm-hmm. around him. And I just had that icy cold grip on my heart. And then he just kept marching along with talking about, well, this is what's going to happen. This is going to happen. He laid out the blueprint or the roadmap of what was going to be happening mm-hmm. very efficiently. And I didn't have time to reminisce over it, or reminisce to really react to it. Instead, it's like, okay, we're making this appointment and so you have to do this first, pre-surgical that, you're going to have a bag. If it's on the right-hand side, when you wake up from the operation, you'll know it's temporary. On the left-hand side of the navel, it might be temporary or it might be permanent. They just breeze through the stuff really quickly. But that your question reminds me of something that I think is also kind of important, is that I'm not a practicing Christian. I will send prayers for friends. I have a friend going through very, very difficult surgical issues right now, having had a couple of major surgeries. I'll send prayers up for them. But I realized after I was completely done, I never prayed for myself once. It's like, I'll just do what the doctors tell me to do. And I think part of that, Carla, is having had such a wonderful life experience and, two beautiful children and all sorts of, you just can't have a better life than being a rock, air quotes, star for 25 years. And I felt that if things went bad, things went south, I'm fine with it. It's a life that a couple little regrets, but basically, I think if you have that attitude too, God bless people listening, and I hope that their lives have been, that you can focus on the wonderful, positive segments of your life, episodes of your life, and be, I think me having the inner feeling of contentment, peace, and happiness with what I'd already had in life was one of those elements of that attitude that the doctors and nurses kept telling me, really made a huge difference in this recovery. So yeah. I'd like to leave that with people too, is that, I wasn't worried about it as much because I had so much in the bank account of life already that it wasn't something I was too, yeah. I was less worried about it than I could have been, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, like I say, spending a lot of time inside your own head in a positive mm-hmm. way is a good thing.
Now, you've said a lot too about how you we're just doing what the doctors have told you. How did you sit there and say, okay, yes, just take my life into your hands? Now, how did you have that trust in those doctors and in the science behind those surgeries?
Well, one of my first academic objectives when I was still in high school was in a medical direction, but not as a physician.
Okay.
I had decided that what might be a good thing for me to pursue is something called medical illustration. And so even in grade 11, I started studying kinesiology on right. my own, mainly because the only anatomy courses at UBC at the time, you were under the aspect of kinesiology. And so I got quite familiar with the anatomy, so I could draw it, right. and then just started to understand it a little bit and got more into not necessarily medicine, but into human anatomy and biology mm-hmm. and started to understand that there's been a tremendous amount of science just going back, even before my musical career, and starting to have faith in research, peer review and consensus of science and biology. And so I've always had faith in the medical people, and I think that's where that stemmed from originally.
Okay.
I know that I could sit down with people who've had horrible experiences in the medical, with medical diagnosis and treatment, and could rip a blue streak right off me, you know, for recommending trust in doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But if at first you don't succeed, try again. And maybe if your doctor, if it's just not working for you with your doctor, you know, my luck streak with the 9 doctors I had is probably not going to be repeated by everybody. But there are an awful lot of really good doctors out there. You bump into people of incredible gifts and talents and skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my case, it was the best thing to trust them. In other people's cases, I would absolutely say, if you got a bad feeling about it, then second opinion or
change. Well, and you did that, right? You know, you didn't come back with the results right away. Like you said, if you hadn't come to this doctor in High River,
well,
the chances of you finding it, you know, that luck may not have...
Here's the flip side of the sword, you know?
Yeah.
I also trusted the guys in Drumheller.
Exactly.
That were wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
and they can be wrong.
They can.
They are humans.
Absolutely. You know, and those two different, I guess, proctologists, what you have to call them, the colonoscopy guys in Drumheller, are not included in the 9 doctors that I had.
Yeah.
I had 9 doctors treating me for all these various things here.
Ones, yeah.
In the High River. Most of the diagnosis and... operations happened in here in High River and in Calgary. I recovered a few times in Drumheller.
Yeah.
But mainly the quality of care that we have in this little region, south of Calgary and Calgary proper, is really something. It's we're lucky. We're lucky to be here.
I love your attitude. I really do. And I agree with the doctors that yes. I mean, we can see that in anything of life, right? If we are positive, realize that even in not so lovely situations, there can be good. Being happy with your life.
Well, I'll just insert here, my kids are both grown now.
Yeah.
But as they were children growing up, one of the things I said over and over again is don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've been in several, maybe a topic for another podcast, I've been in several life-threatening situations where it was going to be over.
Yeah.
So I was absolutely going to be killed. But don't panic and think calmly and clearly got me through these, got me past these absolutely deadly
mm-hmm.
situations.
Yeah.
And there's about 4 of them where, you know, just it was coming right down to it. And don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
So stay calm and mm-hmm. positive attitude are both good, but panic will kill you.
Our brains don't function properly when we're panicking.
Yeah. I think these things are all kind of global. You know, staying calm, doing what is intelligently suggested to you, not panicking, and being appreciative of the moments of your past life are all really good precepts, I think, for a lucky outcome. You can help luck along. Another thing that I've sort of been practicing a little more lately is I ran into a series of interviews with people at the very final stages of their lives.
Okay.
And there's some things that I just haven't remembered, but they were the one thing that stuck with me when they're talking to these people in their very last days or weeks of life is, what do you kind of wish you'd done more of? And nobody said anything like, well, I wish I had worked harder, I wish I'd, blah, blah. The thing that people said was, they said, in the last few years, I wish I had spent more time to reminisce.
Mm.
And, you know they only have a few days left and they're reminiscing, right? And so, Carla, I started doing that about 5 years ago when I read this article. I got the insomnia. I've got the insomnia. But, sometimes in the course of that insomnia, I will just really delve into remembering all those times on the road, you know, the trips I took through the deep south and my children's youths and, you know, and all the relationships in the past. If you could, that's one of these, it's almost like a meditation. Maybe that's the meditation I do.
Absolutely.
Looking back favorably. Not looking back wistfully at the past and wishing I could relive it. I sure would. But just appreciating those reminiscences. Mm-hmm. As the advice from, you know, the older people. I think that's a really healthy thing to do. Is reminisce about the good times and the bad times. Get the most out of it. Squeeze the most out of every minute of life that you possibly can.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you do day to day that you think benefits your wellness?
People comment on my appearance, my youthful-ish appearance, and my response to them is, well, that's because vodka is an excellent preservative. Okay, you're gonna edit that out. You're gonna edit that out. I couldn't resist cracking you up with it here. Put that in your wellness blog.
I love it. Yeah.
See how that
yeah.
goes over. You know, that probably wouldn't make a lot of sense. In my daily routine, I think just trying to get more exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. I've failed miserably and spectacularly at actually achieving that. And maybe another thing is I'm also not being very successful at this, but my entire life I've been concerned about weight, mainly because I'm on stage all the time. And so I'm always kind of attempting to eat less than I want to.
Right.
So I'm horrifyingly unsuccessfully at this point in time, not succumbing to every indulgence, I think, and that of course is global, whether it's alcohol or whether it's food or whether it's cigarettes or whatever, you know, trying not to succumb completely to one's vices is probably good. I cannot say I rule myself with an iron hand.
No.
But and so it's always in the back of my mind.
Yeah. You know, I love how it's just
not
you
trying
try
to do
yeah.
You know,
that's all we can do, right? Is try every day.
Just a half a brownie, not the whole thing.
Yes, it's that can be. The last time I went to the grocery store, I swear there's 5 different 50% off, you know, thing sections. Why can't you just have one?
Yeah.
And every single one of them has to have muffins on it. You forget that the muffin's already in the cart and you already grab another thing because it's 50% off, you know.
It's diabolical is what it is.
Come home and I'm like, what is this? Who am I feeding? I don't even eat this stuff. What is going on?
Oh, that is funny.
Do you have any questions for me?
I don't have questions, but I certainly have a comment about how proud I am of you.
Oh.
You know, but Carly, we've known each other for, I think it's 8 years now, 7 or 8 years.
Gotta be something like that.
And
yeah.
I just want to share something with you, is that last week, when I was setting up PA equipment at Sally's, a friend came up with a phone and said, hey, look at this. And it was a video that had been taken at the Spitzy Post 7 years ago with yours truly and Mickey. Remember Mickey,
yeah,
the singer?
Of course.
About four of the people on stage and people, Carla Buston, a moon. Huge. I had forgotten you had that skill, but you were.
I don't know that I did have that skill.
Oh, you did. You were busting that move. Major. And for quite some time. It was like a full minute and a half, I guess. Everybody stopped singing because the dance moves were
what?
So. It was just one of those things where your phone says 10 years ago today.
Right, on Facebook or whatever,
or
yeah.
On this date 8 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was you, and I just
that's
thought,
so
this
funny.
Is so interesting because Carla's going to interview me in 3 days. And now I've got this to share with you.
That's hilarious.
So,
yeah, it's fun looking back at all those.
So people at home,
videos.
She can bust it.
Well, would you like to sing a song for us?
Actually, I did prepare
okay.
something.
For all your listeners, I will be taking a break in December so you guys can enjoy your holiday season however you wish to do so for you and your family. And if you don't have a family, then contact somebody.
Yes, good idea.
But so this is my Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Hanukkah, and all
this
that.
This may be it. This may is, be yeah. the holidays yeah. conclusory
episode. Yeah.
Episode. I like that. Well, I did some research. You know, we're lucky these days to have the interweb and all of its machinations. And thinking about the fact that this might be a Christmas thing, I actually found research and found the original words to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's not exactly the way you think. These are the original words. I've taken the liberty of writing them down. And this will be a cappella for you musicians out there. It means that I don't have the luxury of a musical accompaniment. I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine ever since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and the time keeps dragging on, but that train keeps on rolling all the way to San Antone. When I was a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I hear that whistle blowing, you know I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming, and I know I can't be free, but those people keep a-moving, and that's what always tortures me. See, to free me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little further down the line. But I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and the time keeps marching on, and that cane, it keeps on rolling all the way to San, all the way to San, all the way to San Antone. Original words to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Lovely. Well, thank you, Terry, so much.
You guys
much.
Have a wonderful holiday season, and any of yes. you that I happen to see at karaoke, I look forward to rejuvenating the relationship. We'll yes. see you later.